We do, however, move now into our personal finance feature. And this evening, we are joined, of course, as usual, by Warren Ingram, personal finance advisor and executive director at Galileo Capital. Good evening to you, Warren. Now, savings month was last month.
Yeah.
But you don't have to just do it in July, right?
No, please don't. Please don't. That's a terrible idea. Well, it's better than doing nothing. But hopefully people take it seriously and through the month that they've been inspired now to continue saving.
Yeah.
And so that's really the point here is can we get more people to save more often?
And this evening then we're talking about how you would advise a person to just start saving. It doesn't matter how much it is for now. We'll talk about that later, right? For now, it's just start.
Just start. And so, I mean, maybe just to talk about this listener's mail, because I did some numbers. So I mean, this person, you know, says they're earning 10 a month and they've got 2,000 a month to save. So well done to them, because that's a good savings rate. You know, I always say to people, if you can at least just start with about 15%,
yes.
You know, and in this case, that would be $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
That means that you're probably going to get to be able to retire safely and comfortably at age 65. So if you want to retire earlier, then save more, and that's what this person's doing.
Mm.
So if they're spending 8,000, that's an important number, and I'll explain why. So they're saying, where do I start? Do I put it in a savings account? Do I put it offshore? Now we've got to deal with that, because
yes.
I think there are a few more choices to deal with. But as a starting point, I'd be saying, okay, so if you spend 8,000 a month, then what you need to do is put the first 3 months worth of expenses. In this case, then 8 times 3, 24,000 rand, put that into emergency fund. That's not in a savings account, but that's your personal insurance policy against the stuff when life happens.
Yes.
And then you don't need to go into debt. You don't need to go onto a credit card or borrow money from somebody or some dodgy loan shark. You can fund those expenses yourself. And it doesn't affect your whole long-term investment strategy or the rest of your saving strategy. Mm. You've got your money locked away somewhere safe. And to me, an emergency fund, you should put it in a money market account or some kind of an account that you control. You know, you can just swipe from your app into your savings account or your current account and deal with whatever the emergency fund is.
Mm.
But importantly, it's not your holiday fund. It's not the place where you go and say, okay, I've got an emergency holiday I need to go on. This is the place where you say...
I think emergency holidays are really great. Ideas, if you ask me, those are amazing.
Those are the ones you're going to pay for with part of your expenses. Then, so that's what that's the first thing I'd say to this listener is get your emergency fund going and well done so far. But that's the first point, because it's amazing how often life happens to you when you don't have emergency funding.
Yes,
and the moment
yes.
you've got it, guess what?
Nothing happens.
That's cool. Then you've got it there and it's earning interest, and every now and then you just rebalance it back to your 3 months of expenses. So let's assume that. That this person then jumps forward and they've now saved their emergency fund and they've now got 2,000 rand a month to allocate somewhere.
Mm.
What I would say is identify how long you're going to leave your money invested for. Because one of the questions we always get is, what's the difference between savings and investment? You know, and that's an important point in this. The 2,000 rand that you're setting aside every month, that's saving. And that is 80% of the reason why people become financially independent or why they don't. That's 80% of the story.
Mm.
The 20% of the story is then investing your money. And in this case, it's saying, okay, great. So what do I do with this 2 grand a month that I can...
Okay, so let's just recap on that very quickly, just so that we don't get lost here. So we're saying pretty much saving is 80% of why you can retire.
Absolutely.
The other 20%, however, comes from you investing.
Yeah.
So over and beyond the saving then that you put away.
So it's what you do when you've taken your monthly savings and you now put it somewhere to now grow over the long term. And it's
I loved
one of the banks said it's about getting your money to make money babies. And I think
yes.
that's brilliant. That's really
yeah.
what this is about. And so that's what we're talking about is the saving is taking the 10, spending the 8. I've got 2 every month. And that, well done, that's saving. But now, what do I do with that too?
Mm.
To put it somewhere so that it starts to grow on itself. It starts to get your money to make money babies.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
investing. And I think there, I wouldn't be too specific in terms of saying either a savings account or offshore. I actually think it's probably going to be a combination. So if you're dealing with 2,000 rand, then I'd be saying, okay, take 1,000 rand and invest that locally. Invest that into something, and I'll talk through some options now.
Sure.
And then take R1,000 and invest that in the international stock markets. So don't be, you know, like all or nothing. You know, do both, because I think we're a bit panicky now as South Africans about the JSE and about the economy, and you've just spoken about the SOEs and how everything's, you know, like tough right now. But that's probably a great time to invest, because when everybody else is fearful, that's the time to be running in and saying, right, that must mean there are opportunities now.
Never miss out on a good crisis. Never let a good crisis go to waste.
Exactly, right. And you know, the other Warren, but the more famous Warren, Warren Buffett, the far richer Warren, he always says, I hope, but I mean, let's see. So he always says, be greedy when others are fearful. And I think everybody's fearful. So what I'd say with that R1,000 is invest it locally. And if you've got a longish time frame, in other words, if you're prepared to put that R1,000 a month away for at least 5 years, preferably 7 or 10,
sure,
then you can largely invest your money in shares. And I'll explain how someone can do that.
Okay.
The other 1,000, then do the same, but do it in international markets. And
I want to ask you then, quiz you about that international market thing. The question that I get a lot is, okay, I want to invest internationally or offshore. How does one actually just get involved and just say, yep, this is my money, I'm taking it overseas? What exactly do you do? What vehicles are there? Who do you speak to? What kind of processes do you have to follow? Do you have to get a visa for your money? Or all those weird questions.
So it does depend on the size and the amount that you're going to invest. So for example, if you're going to do a monthly amount, then my view is choose a rand-based overseas investment. So what does that mean? For example, if you look at on the stock exchange, there are a whole lot of exchange-traded funds that are actually investing overseas. So in other words, you take your R1,000, you buy it through the stock exchange, and then you can buy, for example, the World Stock Market Index. There's literally one called the World Stock Market Index. So you buy the whole world. You buy shares from America.
I'm buying the world.
You buy the world, and you get your fraction of a share ownership of everything from Nike on the one side to Adidas to kind of Toyota in Japan and everything in between. And that World Stock Market Index is a fabulous place to invest, because you don't have to go and buy every single individual share in every single individual country. You're buying the world's biggest companies, tech, pharmaceuticals, cigarettes, I guess, and sadly, but booze companies and the like.
And it opens your mind up and your world up, I suppose, to understanding different elements, different parts of your investment. Once you get to understand a little bit more, you can then make perhaps more distinct decisions with regards to your investment.
And to me, that, you know, the equivalent in South Africa of something like that would be the top 40 index. You know, it's the same sort of thing. And it becomes both of those. The World Index and Top 40 Index are great foundations for an investment portfolio. So it should be the core holding that we all have. So if you're not going to go and pay for a unit trust manager to decide where they want to put your money, you say, look, I'm going to do this myself, but under control and you know, within a safe environment, then I think that is the way to go. And that becomes, as you say, so what happens is you kind of build your house, and at some point you decide, okay, I want to put a roof in and windows and a deck and that kind of thing.
Yes.
And those are the extras that you buy, where you might say, okay, in time, once you've built up quite a bit of money in that world index, actually what I think is, I think Japan's really cheap, and I want to add a bit of extra Japan to my world index.
Yes.
Or, you know, I mean, America is not a good idea now because that's really expensive. But maybe, you know, I want to buy a UK because, you know, they're really messing up in Brexit and everyone's fearful Let's pile in. So, but I wouldn't start with that. I would start with the world index first, because that's the main core holding. And so I guess I've already given away the South African advice, which is then do the same.
Yeah.
Buy the top 40 index, or there's also a top 50 now. You know, and I think that either of those are great core holdings for somebody. The alternative to that is if someone says, look, I don't really just want to buy an index. I want to do something else. Then you could say, okay, fine. Let's buy, the category of unit trust for these is called the general equity category.
Yes.
And so general equity unit trust. And there you're paying a fund manager to say, okay, great, I'm going to give you R1,000 a month, and you're going to buy the shares on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange that you think are going to perform well over time. Hopefully they've done their research, these fund managers, and you give them R1,000 every month, and they do that on your behalf. On the international side, you can do the same. So you can say, right, the category of funds there is called feeder funds. So I mean, stupid name, but that's what they call them. So you can find lots of them. If you look at all the big unit trust companies, almost every one of them will have an international equity feeder fund. It simply means they're buying the world stock markets themselves, but now they're choosing what countries and what shares within those countries to buy, where they believe you'll get better growth than just buying the index.
Yeah, so it's not up to you in this case, but it is up to the portfolio manager, and they'll help you sort of get it right.
Exactly right. So, okay. So there's kind of a safety net in terms of them making decisions, but I think I'm reluctant to choose one or the other, because I think, you know, history shows us that actually it's really difficult to beat the index. It's really difficult for these fund managers to do better than the index. So for people who say, I just want the lowest cost, easiest thing, go the index route. I think that there's nothing wrong with that. And if anything, it might actually build up capital faster than anything else, because the fees of those will be quite low. Mm. And the nice thing is there are a couple of companies in South Africa that make it really easy. You know, so pretty much all the banks, all the stockbrokers have online stockbroking accounts. And then a business like Easy Equities does it, you know, really easily as well. So I think that there's some really nice opportunities and options for people there. But, you know, if you're saying, I just don't want the index, I want to be able to do better than the index one day, then look at the unit trust. And I guess if you want to get complicated or have the best of both worlds, you could say, okay, I'm going to divide my two into two. I'm going to take $500 a month and put it into the local stock market index, and $500 into a local unit trust, $500 into an international stock market index, and $500 into an international unit trust. Over time, and I'm not really avoiding your question about then getting the passport for your money and sending it out. So that's kind of, you know, it is an option available to all of us. All South Africans can send about R1 million a year without having to go through a whole big clearance process with SARS and everybody else. Yes. We can just do that, and we can send our money over. And then we can apply it to SARS and actually the Reserve Bank as well to send R10 million a year. So for all intents and purposes, for almost every South African out there, bar kind of a very lucky few, we don't have exchange control. So we can send our money out and actually physically go and invest it in dollars and pounds and euros. But the thing is, it's expensive to convert your rands into those currencies and then to get into those funds. So my view is not really worth doing until you've got about R500,000 that you've actually accumulated in investments here that you then convert and send out. Because then you can negotiate with the banks to get their forex charges lower. You can get hopefully a decent rate in terms of your investments on the other side. But to follow the same kind of philosophy and process, I mean, I think that's cool. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But to start, especially for this person who's listening, I mean, the first thing they've done is they've succeeded in saving, and they're already 80% of the way there.
That's the first port, right? That's the first port of call. That's the starting point for them to even have these options of offshore saving, or whether it be the top 40, top 50, all share, wherever the case is. It just started with saving.
And you know, I mean, I hate to scare people, but it's maybe not a bad thing sometimes. So 5 out of every 100 people who are working in formal employment. So that's not 5 out of every 100 South Africans. 5 out of every 100 people working in formal employment are able to retire comfortably one day. Just think about that. I mean, that's terrifying to me. You know, I mean, the message here is, you know, 80% of the deal, you don't need to pay a financial plan or any guru or anybody like that to start saving. Just listen to the show, go home, commit, and start saving, and you're 80% of the way there. You're 80% of the way ahead of the rest of the people in this country and in the rest of the world, because nobody anywhere in the world really is saving. You know, the way they are saving is when their governments are forcing them to, and that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
But in this instance, I mean, we need to say to this person, well done. You know, you're already on track, and if they can stick to it, they're on their way.
Sure. I'm still shocked at the stat there. 5 out of 100 formal employment people in formal employment can actually retire comfortably.
So, I mean, if we had to break that down in terms of our population, I mean, you know, what I mean, we know unemployment rate's what, 30% of the population?
In pretty much, yeah, 29%.
And then let's say there's probably 20 to 25% are still young, so they're not in the game.
Yeah.
So we're talking about, I mean, I think it's probably 20-30 million probably 20 million at the most working South Africans, and we're saying 5% of them. So what is that? That's 10% would be 2 million. So it's 1 million people out of our whole country
who will actually be able to retire comfortably.
Comfortably.
Shocking, hurting, worrying.
And the sad part is we can give ourselves great excuses as to why we shouldn't save. You know, there are always emergencies, real emergencies. Yeah. I'm not being funny. There are.
Yeah.
And, you know, petrol prices are high, food prices are high.
Yeah, everything costs a lot of money as well, yeah.
Electricity, as we've heard, is getting more and more expensive all the time. Mm. But the deal is, I mean, if you want to take control, if you don't want to be that stat, the bad stat, the 95 out of 100, then this is something that you've got to stop giving yourself the excuse to say, you know what, I can't just give excuses. Mm. I've got to find a reason and get going, because this is, otherwise you become that stat, and that's a terrible stat to be part of.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a story that has been sort of running every year, and Bruce Whitfield sort of interviews a lady we're calling Super Saver Julia. Right. And she used to drive a Corsa Light, and she's since upgraded now to a Toyota Etios, but she's now worth 5.1 million rand. And all she did really was she made sure she saved a little bit of money. And, you know, yes, she had a massive salary at the time when she started all of this, but she just made sure that she keeps her income very low. Her spending very low.
Yeah.
And just tried to maintain it no matter what the lifestyle was. Even though she had children, she decided to just try and keep her spending and lifestyle sort of the same. And over the years, she just continued to get money out of that investment she initially made. And now it's worth at least 5.1 million rand.
So I mean, in a year, her, you know, we were talking about, you know, having your money make money, baby. So, yeah. So for her, you know, in a bad year, it's making about 400,000 or 500,000 rand a year, her money itself, without
in
her.
In a bad year.
And so in a good year, you know, when things go well, that's going to be 1 million rand. Just think about the impact of that. And all she did, if we look at this question that we had now, is out of the 10 that this person's earning, she was saving 3. It's 1,000 rand extra, and she just stuck to that, and she got going.
Look, I think there's a little bit more that needs to go into my savings now. We'll talk about
that. Have we motivated you?
Just a little bit more. That's certainly for sure. Warren, appreciate your time. Warren Ingram joining us there for our personal finance feature this Thursday evening. Personal finance advisor and executive director at Galileo Capital.